Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Innis Trail in the Innis Reserve, somewhere just behind St. Columba School. Today we're going to have communion together, but before we do, I want to lay a foundation for us to think about. When we take the bread and the wine, both are symbolic for first, his life, and secondly, his sacrifice. The bread represents his life, those things he did, those things that he taught. The wine or the juice represents the sacrifice of his blood. As sanitary as we want to make that event, the crucifixion was a cold-blooded murder of a Jewish man because of the things that he taught and because of the things that he believed. However, his murder purchased for those people, it purchased salvation for those people who believe in him and choose to follow this same Jewish man. The cross was offensive, but it resulted in eternity. The price Jesus paid bought for us the blessings and the promises of God. Please keep in mind, the Lord's Supper, the original Lord's Supper, was given to men who had followed him, loved him, and many of them would give their lives, literally give their lives for him. What about you? What would you do if you were challenged to that point? Far too many people want to claim the promises of God for themselves, but they're unwilling to embrace the sacrificial life of Jesus. Far too many people claim the promises of his power, but are unwilling to humbly endure the death of fleshly desires. What about you? Today, as we take the Lord's Supper, let me encourage you to recommit yourself to Jesus. You know, he is our Savior. I challenge you today, take him as Lord. The Bible said that when Jesus gathered the disciples in the upper room, they had a meal, and then he reached and he took some bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for this part of communion or the Lord's Supper. Thank you for the life that Jesus lived, the perfection that he showed. Thank you for the things that he taught. Thank you for the example that he set for us. Now, Father, help us recommit to follow that example. In Jesus' name, amen. Then the Bible says that Jesus took a cup, and I'm sure he held it up. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. This is the new agreement. This is the new covenant in my blood. When you take this, do it to remember me." Father, we're so grateful for Jesus. Though it was a tragic event when he was crucified, the blood that he shed was what was necessary for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to know this and to believe it and to make Jesus our Savior and Lord. And it was purchased by this shedding of his blood. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to get into a much misunderstood topic. We're going to talk about that secret place that David talked about. So let's get started by going to Psalms chapter 91, verses 1, 2, and see what David said about the secret place. He says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." So the secret place, what is it? Well, David answers his own question by saying, in his own words, it's a fortress, it's a refuge, it's a place where he could go. But you know what? It is a place of strength, not of weakness. So Lord, David's secret place was in you, a tower of strength. But when we look at this, we often think about this is a place for us to go to when we want to run and hide and we're in trouble. We want to just hide away. But I don't think that's the way it is. I think it's a place that we need to live 24 hours a day. Whereas for me, I need him in the morning when I get up and start my day. I need him in the afternoon as I go through the things that God has given me to do. I need him in the evening when I lay down my tools or I turn my computer off. I need him as I sit down and I scroll through social media or the internet so I won't be affected by the lies and perversion that many times are there. I need him when I go to bed so I can have a restful night's sleep. I need him desperately in the morning hours when I awake at 2 or 3. And my mental and spiritual defenses are down, and my mind is attacked with evil thoughts and the conviction, the condemnation of the devil to accuse me of things that God has already forgiven me for. Those things happen early in the morning, and so I am so grateful that his mercies are new every morning. This secret place is a fortress for us to go and live in 24 hours a day. But there's only one way to get there, and David gave us that way. He said, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. In him I will trust." Say that with me. In him I will trust. Oh, if we would trust him as David did, if we will trust him with every moment of our day, if we will trust him with our circumstances, we have chosen to give him our eternity, but now, today, will we give him our entire lives? Those who trust God completely will live in the secret place of God. Do you trust him with everything? What else can be found in this secret place? Well, I challenge you, take your Bible when we're through and read the rest of Psalms 91. There are many things that you'll find in that secret place that we need every single day. But the secret place is more than just an Old Testament concept. Let's go over to the New Testament and see what the New Testament says about places like this. Now go with me over to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 4. After painting a picture, a clear picture of the blessings of those who believe and the dangers of unbelief, the writer of Hebrews gives us a picture of a place very similar to the secret place. He says, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. There is a place of rest for real believers, those who follow Jesus. But please keep in mind, this is not a place for us to go and to stop and to get away from everything. This is a place for us to survive and to thrive. It's a place of strength so we can live there and work from there and live from there. But Jesus also gives another picture, a much clearer picture of a place where we can go that is a place of strength. Let's go to John chapter 15, verses 7. And I think you'll recognize it. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you." That is a secret place. That is a place we can go. That is a place that we can live, to be totally absorbed in Jesus and abide in Him 24 hours a day. We can draw strength from being in Christ, and if we do not stay in Christ, Jesus says we can do absolutely nothing. Unfortunately, very few people reach that place. My Christian hero, Hudson Taylor, the one who started the China Inland Mission, he had ministered for years and years and years, and thousands of people coming to Christ, but the constant pressure was killing him. He said, "I prayed, I fasted, I read the word, I became more diligent to my devotion, but for no avail. The constant pressure, the heaviness of sin covered me." And here was a man that was totally involved in ministry. Then he discovered the secret. He discovered that he is most holy who has most of Christ within and the joys most fully in his finished work. To let Jesus be his Savior and to work his sanctification in our lives. "Abiding, not striving," he says, "nor struggling, but looking off to him, trusting him for present power." This sounds like a place I would love to be. And Hudson Taylor finally got there. That was his spiritual secret. His son said of him after that time, he was blessed to live in Christ. And how great the difference. Instead of bondage, liberty. Instead of failure, quiet victories within. Instead of fear and weakness, a restful sense of sufficiency in another, and that sufficiency is in Christ and in Christ alone. Oh, if we would get there. Oh, if we could get in that place where we can rest in Christ, yet thrive in our walk with Him. It would not be a battle. It would be resting in His strength. Ourself we're crucified, but His strength and life lives through us. Hudson Taylor discovered what David talked about in Psalms 91. He found that place of rest mentioned in the book of Hebrews, and it's all wrapped up in, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," as according to what Jesus says. Abiding in Jesus is our fortress. It's our power source. It's our success. It is our ultimate joy. Are you living there? Listen, are you living there? If not, you can. God help us to live in that secret place by continuously abiding in Jesus. God allow us to experience that full commitment and fully being absorbed in you. Several years back, a man by the name of Larnell Harris wrote a song, and he puts it very clearly what it means to abide in Christ. Let me share with you those words. He said, it's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wondering, but in praying that we find the strength of the Lord. Trusting, resting, praying, that's where we find the strength. And if we will enter into that secret place, that fortress, that powerful place which is abiding in Christ, then and only then will we experience God's best for us. Do you want to go there? Do you want to go there? Perhaps today you need to make that decision to wrap yourself up in Jesus. But it begins with first believing in Him and making Him Lord of your life. Have you done that? Are you fully committed to follow Him? Have you chosen to give your circumstances to Him and Him alone and let Him handle the situations instead of worrying and fretting about them? God, help us to come to that place. Help us to abide, to live in that secret place, which is Jesus. It's Christ and Christ alone. Father, to You be glory and honor and praise forever and ever, because it is in You that everything exists. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.